Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Football Chase Podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you, alongside my co-host, former NFL safety, J.J. Wilcox. And we're getting ready for week three of the NFL season, J.J. First 2 weeks in the books, and now we turn the page in what has been a very eventful weekend of NFL football. Looking forward to breaking down these matchups, J.J., and giving our player of the week. But before we get there, how are you doing today?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Tuesday, I'm down in the dungeon in the basement today, coming live. And I'm excited, man. I got some good stats and some good headlines for this week and for some good picks and matchups this week. So I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Anytime we get on the mic and we talk some NFL football, I'm always excited. I'm fired up. Appreciate all those of you who have been tuning into our shows. And now week three. So here we go. Let's kick it off, JJ, with a player of the week. I'll go first here, and it's hard, right, because there's so many standout players throughout the NFL, a lot of top performances that help propel their team to victory. But for me, I'm going to have to give it to Baker Mayfield, JJ, Buccaneers quarterback, a guy that has, in a sense, been an afterthought coming into the season. He signed with Tampa Bay on a one-year deal. The expectations were pretty tempered. He was a football nomad for over the last 12 months, went from Cleveland to Carolina to LA, then now in Tampa. He had to battle Kyle Trask for the starting job in training camp. Well, here we are on September 19th. The Buccaneers are 2-0. Mayfield has completed 69.1% of his throws for 490 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, JJ. His QBR of 66.4 through 2 games is 10th in the NFL, just behind the 66.7 mark posted by Patrick Mahomes. Mayfield, 26-34, 317 yards, 1 touchdown against the Bears on Sunday, 27-17 victory for those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I got to tell you what, Caleb Canales, the offensive coordinator for Tampa, you got to give him some credit. Coming over from Seattle, was the quarterback's coach there. But Baker Mayfield, for me, JJ, has clearly been a standout thus far, and that's exactly why he's my player of week number two.
Yeah, I agree. He has some things stacked against him this year. Going into the season, we didn't know what exactly Tarbo's direction they was going to go once Tom Brady left. But I think he's came in, and he said, you know, quite frankly, that he wasn't going to try to replace anybody number 12 that was in front of him. So I'm happy to see the success he's had. I'm happy for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just because we didn't know which way it was going to go after Tom Brady left. Whereas this guy here, man, I had a chance to see him a little bit in camp and do some things in spring, too. And his name has just been ringing since he got in. I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons, Bijan Robinson. He stepped in at a critical place and critical role for this Atlanta Falcons team with CP being out. And he has done nothing but made magic of what he's done. 19 for 124, 6.5 yards average. No touchdowns this time, but just along his carries, the way he can accelerate, stop on the dime, make guys miss. And as a rookie, it's just electrifying to see what this young guy can do, and he's continuing to do. He's helping this team get to a 2-0 over Green Bay Packer team that was pretty damn good. I'm excited for this guy. And like I say, the sky's the limit. He's doing some great things early on in his career.
Bijan Robinson, definitely I have him on my fantasy team, over 100 yards. Week one, his touches were a little bit limited, getting to Tyler Algier a little bit. But week two, he showcased what he's capable of. And man, he's an exciting player. His dynamic ability to make defenders miss in open space. Bijan Robinson is a player that's going to be so exciting to watch as this season unfolds. Now, JJ, we're going to get into our week three matchups, now that we have our player of the week, we're going to make that a weekly segment to highlight one player that we think deserves some extra recognition. But we're going to kick things off week three, Thursday night football on Amazon Prime, Giants at 49ers, the Giants 1-1 at San Francisco 2-0. This is a little bit of a lopsided matchup in my eyes. San Francisco, I know they had a tough one against a divisional opponent against the Los Angeles Rams in week two. They eventually did sneak it out for a win. I like them here, 27-16. Saquon Barkley going down with that ankle sprain. He's unlikely to play, especially it being a short week. And so when you take away the Giants' number one offensive playmaker and Saquon Barkley to an already struggling offense, Daniel Jones is trying to find his rhythm with a couple of new targets in Darren Waller and Paris Campbell. Give me the 49ers at home. Brock Purdy is got a little bit of momentum going now. Their run game, Christian McCaffrey. I just think that defense is going to be locked down on Daniel Jones with no Barkley in the fold. They get it done by 11 points in primetime.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I hate to hear that for Saquon. He is a big key and a huge reason for a lot of the Giants' success when you have the key on the guy, put eight in the box, and allows your receivers and other receivers to get open to do some things in the passing game. But with that being gone now, we can put our ears back and defensively do some great things. That's what San Fran does. They can rush for four and do some great things. Christian McCaffrey is running, if not one of the top MVP picks right now, is the way he's going and the rate he's going to. Brock Purdy's doing consistently. The defense is stepping up. And I'm excited for him. Fred Warner did a lot of great things. 11 tackles. Drew Greenlaw did 12 tackles. And these guys are playing some complimentary football to each other. So give me the San Francisco 49ers to get the dub as well.
Sunday slate, September 24th, we kick off the noon slot with the Titans and Browns. The Browns just played a game last night, JJ. I don't know if you caught the ending of that one. It was a crazy game. We both had the Steelers winning. They got the job done, and now they have to bounce back. And unfortunately, JJ, another severe injury. Nick Chubb, I mean, it was a gruesome looking left knee injury. He went down in the first half, and he's for sure done for the year, and we'll see what the implications are moving forward for his long-term career, of course, hoping for the best. But man, that was a brutal, brutal play to Nick Chubb. And then the Browns, all of a sudden, they lose their focal piece of that offense. And so now they're going to have to find a way. Now, Ford, who went in replace of Chubb, actually played very well. But when you lose a guy like Nick Chubb, JJ, it certainly is a devastating loss.
Yeah, guys like that caliber of talent that he has, it's going to be hard to replace. He's a guy that can hit the home run balls, that can take it 20 times and make guys miss as well, too. He's a guy that we knew was getting the ball consistently on a consistently basis and still made things happen and still was able to make plays and at an elite level. You know, it's one thing to be not a mediocre, but a middle-of-the-pack type of back, but with Chubb, with all his ability, he was at elite status. It's going to be hard to replace that, especially from an offensive standpoint. So my prayers and hats off to Nick Chubb. I hope he fully get a chance to do a very speedy and fully recovery, and praying for his success in that rehab.
Ditto to that, praying for him, as is the NFL community. But in this matchup, JJ, the Titans did surprise both of us. And I had the Chargers beating them, and Tennessee pulled it out. I mean, a gritty victory, a typical Mike Vrabel-led squad, smash mouth. DeAndre Hopkins starting to have his presence felt on the outside. Treylon Burks, I think, went three receptions for almost 80 yards, and so he's a big play type of receiver. And then Derrick Henry in the backfield. So now they go to Cleveland here, a team that's going to have to find a way to fill that Chubb void. Deshaun Watson, JJ, still does not look good. And that Pittsburgh defense had their way last night. With that being said, though, the Cleveland defense is pretty darn elite.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett, Denzel Ward, Grant Delpit flying around out there. And so being back at home in front of the dog pound, JJ, I like Cleveland to get it done in a close one, 23-17 over the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I seen Derrick Henry. He had some struggles early on in that game against the Chargers. His stat line wasn't efficient like we usually see him going for over 4 to 5 yards average carry. There's another here or there, but they still got the dub against a very good Chargers team. I like what they're doing, passing the ball. Tannehill is seeing different things, spreading it out worthily to Chris Moore, DeAndre Hopkins, and Traylon Burks, and those things, as well as Derrick Henry in the passing game too. But I like you say, for Cleveland Browns to get it done back in front of the Dog Pound Crew. Their defense is not one of the top, it's probably the top five defense in the league right now with the pass rushes that they have and the guys at the secondary position. So give me Cleveland too to redeem themselves from a hard fought one last night.
Next game on the docket, Falcons at Lions. Atlanta 2-0. Both you and I have been on Atlanta since week one, still unbeaten. Now they go to the road and take on a Lions team that dropped an overtime thriller to the Seattle Seahawks on their home turf here. JJ, this one is a tough one for me. I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions here, 30-21, just for the fact that Jared Goff and this high-powered offense, they just continue to move the ball down the field with ease. And while Atlanta has improved that secondary, Jesse Bates is now already having some turnovers forced on opposing quarterbacks. But right now, Detroit, they're going to be even hungrier losing week two. I know David Montgomery is hurt, but Jahmyr Gibbs, I think he'll be in line for more carries, the dangerous rookie running back. And so being at home in an ignited fan base is going to be difficult for Desmond Ridder, who's at times looked a little bit uncomfortable, JJ. And ultimately, that's why I'm going to pick the Lions in this one. I just don't think Desmond Ridder is going to be able to produce enough to the air to beat this prolific Lions offense. So that's why I'm going with Detroit here.
Yeah, Detroit is a team, man, that was, like I say, this one was tough for me too, especially with being a home team and not trying to be biased, but I like the direction the Detroit Lions is going. They're a physical team. Like I said, their offensive line is one of the best in the league. They run a game with two-headed monster. Yeah, it may look a little different with David Montgomery being out. Jared Goff is playing excellent football, 28 for 35 for 323 yards. He had a quarterback rating of 121, if not one of the best for that week. But I just look at what Geno Smith them did. They spread the ball out evenly. He had over 300 yards passing, even though we're not going to get that from Desmond Ridder. I think the running game and the way they're going to attack the Detroit Lions, as far as getting his 13 personnel, do some things outside sweep. I like Atlanta Falcons here. I think the momentum is going to take them into this game. It's going to be a close one, but I think defensively, it's going to be a problem matchup for the Detroit Lions and their skill position. So give me the Atlanta Falcons to win it here 27-17 in a close one.
Saints at Packers here, 2-0. New Orleans getting a win, hard-fought win last night in Carolina. Green Bay losing to the Falcons, now 1-1. I like the Saints in this matchup, JJ, 23-20, in a close, nail-biting affair. Derek Carr has looked a little bit off at times, but I still think he's getting acclimated to that Saints offense and Pete Carmichael dialing up the plays. And then you look at what they've been able to get with Michael Thomas. He's looking a little bit more like himself, Chris Olave, the threat down the field. But it's more so that Saints defense led by DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan. They're going to get after Jordan Love. And David Bakhtiari, he was inactive in week two. He could be inactive this coming weekend. And not having an all-pro left tackle out there against this Saints defense could be deadly for Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. And for those reasons, I like New Orleans to go to Lambeau Field, get a hard-fought victory by three.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that one. I think the Saints showed a different dimension. I know eventually they're going to get Kamara back, but the running game has been still strong. The defensive, one of the focus points, has always been a focus point for the Saints. They're strong on the outside. They match up good with some of the receivers that the Green Bay Packers display. Even though Jordan Love is playing some great football, he played a great game last week against Atlanta Falcons here too. He's efficient. He's making a great decision. But I like the New Orleans Saints here to take care of the win.
Broncos at Dolphins, 0-2, Sean Payton's Broncos in both games, blew second half leads, and now they go to Miami for the Dolphins home opener. They're 2-0. This is just a tough stretch to start the season for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. Right now, the Dolphins look like they are functioning at another level, that offense. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle is in concussion protocol. We'll see what his status is. But Raheem Mostert is running tough. Devon Achane is finally active for the Dolphins. Tua is throwing the ball with confidence. Talked about him last week on the podcast, And I'm all in on this Dolphins team, JJ. They get the job done yet again, move to 3-0, but it'll be close. Denver has been right there trying to get that first win under Sean Payton. They're going to play Miami close, but I don't think they have enough offensively for what Tua and those guys have, especially going in that high-powered offense. 27-23, give me the Miami Dolphins here.
Yeah, the Miami Dolphins are doing some great things. If you see it there, they're matching their X and O's up to the players that they have. We know that they're a speed team as far as the backfield, Marshall and those guys, and they do a good job of running outside, outside, and then, you know, a couple of big hits that they had, the Patriots, they end up hitting on the goalpost in the inside zone because you're just so worried of them stretching the field laterally. And they do a good job of that as well. They complement that and moving Tyreek Hill and doing some things that causes some problem in the secondary. But Russell, man, he's playing some good ball. 18 for 32 last week, 308 for three touchdowns. Javonte Williams did a good job of running and giving them a mixture of that as well, too. But like you say, man, the Miami Dolphins right now, they got a speed team. They're defensively, they are back home, and they do some great things up front. So, yeah, give me Miami Dolphins to take care of business here.
Chargers at Vikings, JJ, 0-2. Both of these teams with high expectations entering this season. Minnesota losing a heartbreaker to Philly Thursday night. Try to make that late comeback, fell just short. The Chargers, same story for them, finding ways to lose games. Lost in Tennessee. They're without Austin Ekeler for an extended period of time due to an ankle sprain. JJ, are you going Skol Vikes here? Are you going to go with the Chargers?
I'm going to have to go over the Skol Vikes here. I think it's time for them to turn over. Kirk Cousins has played some great ball. I know the running game is a little different with Dalvin Cook being gone, but they still have some people in T.J. Hockenson and those guys. We know what Justin Jefferson can do on the outside, and I think, you know, that's enough to get them over. I think the Chargers, that running back, Austin Ekeler, his injury is profound to him because he's a very sound and established back that can hit you in multiple ways in the passing game as well as the home run ball, too, in between the tackles. So with your running game being going, relying more on different passes, I know they have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and those guys outside, too. But I think it's time for the Minnesota Vikings to get this dub and get it done.
I share a very similar opinion. I'm picking the Minnesota Vikings.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
34-30 in a high-scoring affair there in Minnesota. It just comes down to Justin Jefferson and him being virtually unguardable. Alexander Mattison, I'd imagine, coming off a rough performance, he's going to be ready to go, getting that ground game going. And no, Austin Ekeler is a big loss. Joshua Kelly is a very solid running back for the Chargers, but he's no Austin Ekeler, so that removes a dynamic from that offense. Minnesota, under Brian Flores, their defense has improved. You can really see early through 2 weeks. Compared to last season, they're one of the worst in the league. Now they are starting to turn the corner. They're understanding the concepts. That pass rush with Daniel Hunter getting after Justin Herbert, even though the Chargers do have an elite offensive line led by Rashawn Slater. But when you're at home, you got to have this game. If you're Minnesota, 0-2, they get it done here by 4. It's going to be an exciting game to watch, but the Minnesota Vikings, I believe, will come out on top. Now, the Patriots and the Jets. Patriots 0-2, JJ, have yet to win a game, lost both games at Gillette Stadium. Now they go to MetLife Stadium to take on a Jets team that just got thumped by the Cowboys in Dallas, and they're 1-1. So when you look at this AFC East matchup, this is pivotal for the division, JJ. Right now, even though Zach Wilson is the guy for the Jets, I still like New York to get the win 20-17. Lower scoring game, but it's because of this defense of New York. Yeah. Mac Jones hasn't quite looked dialed in completely. They're still trying to sort things out there. Ramondre Stevenson has looked sharp, but the Jets, you're going to have to give Breece Hall a lot more than four carries in a game.
Right.
I think they do. They'll get Dalvin Cook going as well. The Jets win at home.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I know Belichick, and I know what he's thinking. We know he did. He did a lot of great things against that Miami team defense, you know, because they have so many weapons that they can spread you out. He did a good job of keeping it to a minimum. Mac Jones didn't, you know, we expecting Mac Jones to kind of go out here and be the guy, but he's going to have that running game. Ezekiel Elliott is going to have to give me the ball. And I think they're going to find a way to do that and to run the ball and create some play-action pass and things for the receivers for Devontae Parker and Hunter Henry. I like New England here. I don't think Belichick is going to go 0-3 this week. I think he's making a statement against a good team here. I think defensively they're going to do some great things with Adrian Phillips and Matthew Judon and Jalen Mills and Jabril Peppers, and those guys are going to rally up and stand tall. So give me the New England Patriots here for the upset.
All right, Bills at Commanders. Bills 1-1, bounce back win. Commanders 2-0, and they got the come from behind victory in Denver over the Broncos. This is a close call for me too. But I do like the Buffalo Bills here, 24-23, closer than some people might expect. Sam Howell has been really good under Eric Bieniemy, but Buffalo, with Josh Allen locking it in, especially after that atrocious week one performance, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis going off. Now you got that run game. I talked about getting James Cook going. Well, he got over 100 yards. They're starting to establish the ground game. I like Buffalo here, 24-23 in a close one.
Yeah, I like Buffalo too here. I think Josh Allen got all the bad stuff and, you know, the bad, you know, forcing different things and trying to extend plays and do different things out of his system. I think he's going to play complimentary football, run the ball here, give it to the guys that's open, hit them in stride, hit them in the play. It's going to be the game in the trenches too. Can the Bills offensive line protect Josh Allen against this Commanders front four? That's probably one of the best in the league as well, too. So it's going to be a battle of the trenches, but I think Buffalo here has enough to get them done and get them over the edge. Give me Buffalo.
Texans at Jaguars, AFC South. Jaguars, man, I chose them to beat the Chiefs. And you know what, JJ? They had every opportunity to win that game. The defense did their job holding Mahomes and the Chiefs to 17 points. But the execution on the offensive side of the ball with Trevor Lawrence and Press Taylor and Doug Peterson was not there. They shot themselves in the foot. Regardless, they're back at home facing a banged up Texans team that is without several offensive linemen, Jalen Petrie. We'll see what the status is of Jimmy Ward, the other starting safety. Right now, Houston isn't quite in a good position health-wise. They're rebuilding. This is a matchup that the Jaguars should be all over here, 31-17. This is an opportunity for Trevor Lawrence to right some wrongs last week. Jacksonville is on another level right now compared to the trajectory of the Houston Texans. Travis Etienne, I expect a big explosive performance from him. Christian Kirk as well. So Jacksonville, just too much for Houston to overcome. They win by a couple of possessions.
Yeah. That was a great defensive game by Jacksonville's Kansas City Chiefs. More surprisingly from Kansas City Chiefs, the way they did. But Jacksonville, man, like I said, they have a lot of five powers. Like you said, you hit them all on the head defensively. They're strong. I think this is a conference game, so this is important to them as well. And like you said, they're hanging up on the offensive line of Houston Texans. Give me Jacksonville.
Panthers at Seahawks, JJ. Carolina 0-2. Bryce Young still not looking very good yet. Frank Reich is facing some scrutiny from the Panthers fan base over his play calling. Now they have to go to Seattle, to Lumen Field, one of the toughest places to win. Give me Geno Smith in the Hawks all day long. They'll ride that momentum from that victory in Detroit. And then Kenneth Walker is finally showing us again why he is such a explosive, dynamic playmaker with the ball in his hands. We'll see what DK Metcalf's injury status is, but as long as he's out there, Tyler Lockett. This Panthers defense is stout, and they showed that last night, but they did lose Shaq Thompson. Frank Reich announced this morning he underwent surgery to repair a fractured fibula. He's likely done for the season, so they lose their heart and soul of that defense. And offensively, it's been brutal through 2 weeks for Carolina. Yeah. Seattle will feast on that, and that's why I have them winning 24-13.
Yeah, we knew it was going to take some time for Bryce Young to come in and adjust. Like I said, the offensive line for Carolina is in the middle isn't the strongest that you would kind of want, especially for a rookie quarterback. Outside, I love Adam Thielen. Is he the guy that can win consistently on one-on-one matchups on third down? You know, that's give or take here, but you need guys to kind of thrive and help a young quarterback in Bryce Young. I like Seattle. I think it comes down to the leader. Geno Smith is a leader. He stepped in a role last year and did some great things, and he's just continue to get that momentum again. The 32 for 41, 328 against a good line defense. Give me Geno Smith and Seattle Seahawks here.
Bears at Chiefs, 0-2 Bears, and Justin Fields and that Bears offense, they haven't been able to kick it into high gear, and that's disappointing for the Bears fan base because they did show some flashes, big plays in the preseason. Well, through 2 weeks, it has been ugly. Two interceptions for Fields in that loss to Tampa Bay, and now they got to go to Arrowhead, Kansas City, 1-1. JJ, I don't know if there's much else I need to add other than Kansas City having Travis Kelce back in the fold, Chris Jones back in the mix, and you have to give Steve Spagnuolo an immense amount of credit because he's got that defense firing on all cylinders. Even in week one against Detroit without Chris Jones, they still held their own, and a lot of young playmakers, George Karloftis and Willie Gay, the linebacking core there in Kansas City. I like them to win this game rather comfortably, 33-17 over a Bears team that is still struggling to find an identity, especially on offense, and Kansas City will be too much for them at home.
Yeah, it's not much to say here, man. I've been on both of these sides as far as I played for Matt Eberflus and that Chicago Bears defensive scheme against Patrick Mahomes when we was at the Colts, as well as some things in Dallas. And Andy Reid just does a good job of kind of fulfilling those holes in that Tampa 2 type of defense, the cover 3 type of scheme. Give me Kansas City Chiefs here to take care of business.
Cowboys at Cardinals. How about them Cowboys? 2-0, coming off two consecutive victories. Have outscored their opponents 70-10. Now they'll take on an 0-2 Cardinals team. But JJ, I am going to say this. Arizona has been in both games this season. They should have beat the Giants. They blew that massive lead. And then they were right there in week one with the Commanders on the road. So while the Cardinals are a rebuilding team, they're starting Joshua Dobbs. They're without Kyler Murray. They just placed Buda Baker on injured reserve yesterday. So they're down some firepower on both sides of the ball. But Jonathan Gannon has this team playing tough and hard. So no game is going to be easy playing Arizona. At least that's what we've seen through the first couple of games. With that said, Dallas has looked a lot better on offense. Mike McCarthy did a good job play calling against a very good Jets defense. And then, of course, Dallas. We all know Micah Parsons and his dominance led by that unit, Trevon Diggs, Gilmore. The list goes on and on. I like Dallas to go take care of business, 34-16 in Arizona.
Yeah, this is not much. I like what Joshua Dobbs has done, man. I don't think he gets enough credit for the last minute, you know, call in that he's done to step in and lead a team to close to playing hard like he has. James Conner's running the ball tough. He went 23 for 106 against a good Giants defensive front seven as well, too. So, but Dallas, man, is just playing some great ball. How about them Cowboys? Man, Michael Parsons,
yes,
one man wrecking show. Trevon Diggs is doing some great things outside of Gilmore, and that us and them safeties, man, are playing some great ball in Curse, as well as Malik Hooker too. So, man, the Dallas Cowboys is just a little too powerful right now. The momentum is going, getting them to take care of business.
Sunday Night Football, JJ. Pittsburgh 1-1 going to Vegas to take on the Raiders, who are 1-1 as well, won their opener, and then they got absolutely blasted by the Bills 38-10 on the road, and we both had Buffalo winning that one. Not that big, but JJ, I'm actually really excited to see this two iconic franchises going toe-to-toe. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Kenny Pickett, still trying to sort things out on the offensive side of the ball. Jaylen Warren has been a hidden gem for Pittsburgh. The way he's able to run the ball, make explosive plays out in space, does not go down. And then that defense led by TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith on the edge. This Pittsburgh defense is carrying this team. And with the way they put on a clinic on Sunday night against the Cleveland Browns, going to Las Vegas, there's a lot to be confident about and how they can continue to perform well against an offense in Vegas that Jimmy Garoppolo, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get from him. And for those reasons, even though Kenny Pickett and that offense and Matt Canada has drawn some frustrations, I still like Pittsburgh to go on the road, JJ, and get the win 24-21. And I think what should be a very entertaining ball game.
Yeah, I went against Pittsburgh. I had Cleveland doing some good things. We know momentum and stuff changes where Chubb went down and Deshaun Watson, you know, not being effective as he maybe want to have done. But as far as the Las Vegas Raiders, like you say, the identity, you know, once your second guy in receiving is your running back, it shows you that nobody's getting open down the field. Hunter Renfro had 1 for 23. Austin Hooper went 2 for 20. It's just, you know, outside of, you know, running the ball and doing things, you know, what are we doing defensively? I haven't seen anybody step up defensively to make any plays. Marcus Peters is doing some great things. John Jenkins is doing some great things as well, too. And I know inside internally they have some things going on with Johnson. So, you know, with Jones, I'm sorry. But I like Pittsburgh here. Defensively, we know they was a defensive team. They did a great job of playing a great, hard team in Cleveland Browns and taking care of business. So I think that momentum is going to keep going. I think Kenny Pickett is on the verge of just a couple of plays here and there to make it work. So for all those reasons, give me Pittsburgh.
We got another Monday Night Football doubleheader to close out week number 3. Eagles at Buccaneers, 2-0. Initially, when I looked at this matchup, I said, man, this is going to be a blowout for the Philadelphia Eagles, but not so fast. Tampa Bay looking good under Baker Mayfield. Talked about Baker Mayfield being my player of the week. And as much as I want to ride with Tampa Bay, JJ, right now looking at the depth and the talent on that Eagles roster, I just have to go with Philadelphia in a close one, 26-20. They have looked sluggish the first two games. Jalen Hurts, he got Brian Johnson, the new offensive coordinator, who's replacing Shane Steichen. And so there has been a little bit of eagerness from the fan base trying to see this offense get going. But they did turn it on a little bit there on Thursday night against Minnesota. Defensively, that front seven is something else for Philly. And you're seeing Jalen Carter, the rookie, already put his stamp. I think they're going to make it tough for Baker Mayfield in the pocket. They're going to eliminate the run game, and Philadelphia will get the win 26-20.
Yeah, give me Philly here, man, for all those reasons. They're doing some great things. They're playing some great football. They're finding a way. The running game is looking even stronger with Swift. Ducking and diving and finding holes, you know, like I said, and they're toting it and going over 4 to 5 yards average of carry. And with this shifting this to come out of backfield, is just add another dimension that you have to defend outside of the RPO reads and things that Jalen Hurts presents. Give me the book. Give me the Eagles to take care of business.
The last game of week number 3 is the Rams at the Bengals, LA 1-1. Now, Joe Burrow's status is uncertain, JJ, because he did aggravate that calf strain this past Sunday. And so Zach Taylor says he's not sure if Burrow is unable to go. We're going to have Jake Browning starting for Cincinnati. And if that's the case, I may have to go with the Rams here, 27-17. Matthew Stafford has been throwing it really well. Mm-hmm. And how about Puka Nacua, the rookie wide receiver out of BYU, going for double-digit receptions on Sunday? He has emerged as a big-time target in the wake of Cooper Kupp's injury. And the Rams, they're playing hard, JJ. This is a team that many didn't expect to get a whole lot of wins because they are, in a sense, rebuilding. They gutted the roster with a lot of young players, but as long as McVay's there at the helm and Aaron Donald's there on defense and Matthew Stafford there at quarterback, the Rams are a sneaky good team, and I just don't think Burrow will play this week because they're going to try to be cautious with him, and that's unfortunate for Cincinnati because then they drop to 0-3. I just can't see them winning without Burrow against Sean McVay's Rams.
Yeah, I agree with you. Rams definitely surprised me coming off the preseason that they had and some things that they had. But I like what they're doing. I'm excited for the Rams. And, yeah, give me the Rams to take care of business, especially with our Burrow plan.
Well, that does it for week number 3's picks and predictions. It's always fun, man, to have you on, JJ, talking X's and O's. And, hey, man, we're moving along, almost getting to the month mark here of the NFL regular season. We'll start to learn more about these teams as we proceed on. But nonetheless, I appreciate your time, brother, and we will be back here next week for week 4. But take care. Have a blessed afternoon.
Hey, you too, Isaac, man. You know it's always a blessing, man. I always thank you for bringing me on. And like I said, you have a blessed one and a blessed week, and looking forward to these games.
Yes, sir. Take care. God bless, brother.
Oh,
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.